Hello, Wildcats. It is your boy Kev, aka the Dirty Dog. And this is just a little heads up, a little disclaimer to let you know that this is a comedy and crime podcast. So even though we cover many serious cases and true events, and sometimes we talk about that episode of Punked with Bill Goldberg in it where just nothing happened. But this is just to let you know that we do a lot of dark humor and inappropriate jokes and all that fun stuff. So if you're easily offended, this is not the podcast for you. So get on out of here. Scram. Get off the porch. Get out of here. And anyways, everyone else, thank you for listening. Be good, stay safe, and laugh at the dark stuff. Hashtag Wild Man. Bay.
All right, fellas, like we practiced.
Yeah.
2, 3, 4.
Come on down. Come on down. Hanging with the brothers tonight, yeah. Come on down
to the brothers' common place tonight.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brothers' Common Place, a comedy and crime podcast. Where we cover murders, monsters, fuck that up, monsters, murders, mysteries, and more. And in case you can't tell already by how awkward and messed up this episode is so far, it is just your boy, the diamond-handed dirty dog, Kev Brah, coming at you for this episode. It is going to be solo, much like all the sex I've had in the last 32 years of my life, doing it all solo, baby. Han Solo, if you know what I'm talking about. Remember that song from, what was it, like an Xbox game or something? I don't know. It's stupid as fuck, but let's play it.
I'm so happy the carbon night is gone. I'm moving on. I'm so happy that it's over now. The pain is gone.
So, all right, I have no idea what the fuck that is, what that's about, but there you go, you got that, and it's pretty interesting. And, you know, I didn't have, like, a little intro name thingy to do since I was all alone. I thought it might be corny, but we'll try it anyways. It is your boy, Kev, a.k.a. the Dirty Dog, coming at you like Deshaun Watson's dick at a massage parlor, baby. That's not funny. That's messed up, right? Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson got your dick out massage parlor in Houston. It's a work in progress, but what are you doing, boy? What you doing with your dick out? What are you doing? Stop doing that, man. I mean, it's all allegedly at this point, I believe. And I don't know the full story, but I have heard that there's like 22 possible lawsuits or against him for like making massage parlor people, like massage therapists. He like whips his dick out at them or something. I don't know. Alrighty, I guess we'll see what happens with that. No idea. But alrighty, so like I said, we're going to be talking about some interesting things on this episode. Like, this is from Daily Pakistan. I've never heard this website. I don't know if it's real. I have no idea. But this is from February 19th, 2018 in Cape Town. A 33-year-old man from Bloemfontein, I don't know, in South Africa, died on Valentine's Day afternoon after he masturbated 62 times in a row. Hashtag wild man. I don't know if that's possible, to be honest. I don't know how you'd have enough time to do that. Or, like, his recovery is insane, if that's true. Especially at 33 years old? I don't know. I don't believe that's... Well, it doesn't say he orgasmed 62 times, so maybe he just, like, he would do it a little bit and then be like, oh, better save this for in about 20 minutes. You know, this is really good, but I got, like, bagel bites that just came out of the microwave, so I'm going to get those, then I'll come back to this. I'm not going to finish yet, though. So anyways, it is reported that this man identified as Davido Mabuza. He, quote, self-pleasured himself a world record 62 times before dying of a heart attack. It is speculated that he was suffering from depression due to being extremely lonely on Valentine's Day. This can't be real. I'm going to Google this dude. David Mabuzo, That's a song by Tombstone Toffee, also Deputy President of South Africa. That can't be right. This can't be a real thing. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm doubting that this is true. I really doubt this is true. And I'm sorry to open up the episode with this, but I might as well finish reading the episode or finish reading the case. Quote, the young man was on his bed. His penis was detached from his body. It must have been so intense it just came off his body. We found his penis gripped in his left hand so tightly we couldn't get it out. It was tragic. That's not true. Okay, so this is not a true story. But everyone's commenting on it like it is true. There's no fucking way. No way. And some guy commented, this old dude commented, he's got to be 70 years old, and he said his hands must have been very tired and none of his friends gave him a hand. That's not even funny. Like, Muhammad Azim Khan says, that's a lie. He couldn't have done it 62 times. 3 or 4 is the limit, after which there's no erection for the day. So he did do, if he did that, I don't know what that means. He must have been pulling it hard to stretch it after that last ejaculation that break it off, but he must have had some objects like strings or hair for it to be detached from the skin and flesh would not just break. Otherwise, he would be screaming in pain and would stop doing it. Those who doubt this, please try and wank more than 4 times. You will know the truth. To which Roman Adamov replied, I did it 10 times once a long time ago, so it is possible. Alrighty, so I'm sorry for this story. We do have some true things to talk about, though. I'll be honest, a lot of these stories today are going to be about death while masturbating. Not all of them, but there are going to be a few. Yeah, here we go. My girl in the back of the truck with another dude, and they're starting to fuck, and I'm driving around all over town going to Wendy's. Then my grandma came to my house and my grandma sat on my lap and lifted up a blouse and she pulled down a panty. Showed me her beaver. Damn grandma, would you rob a zoo? She said, take it or leave it, son. I said, grandma, I'm not your son. Then she pulled off a mask and it was my mom. And then she told me, hey son, this pussy is the bomb, yeah? So alrighty, let's go ahead and talk about something right here. We're going to talk about a dude, Akbar Salubiro. That's probably pronounced wrong, and I'm very sorry about that. He was born in 1991. Alrighty, this dude, he was a 25-year-old man, and he went missing on March 25th, 2017. What happened is he was setting off for a harvest in a remote village of the western part of the island Sulawesi. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's in Indonesia. And this is just straight from the wiki on this. So the morning of March 25th, 2017, he was reported missing, and a search party went out trying to find him. And his family, they're getting really worried, so they call the police. No one can find this dude. Later that day, they look over to like his backyard where he lived near an oil palm plantation, and they see this big-ass fucking snake. And by big-ass snake, no, I'm not talking about Kevin Durant or Carlos Boozer. Yeah. You sons of bitches. But no, this big-ass snake, he's having trouble. He's having difficulty moving around, and he has this big-ass fucking snake belly. So the residents there, they kill this fucking snake, and they cut open the belly of the snake, and they find that 25-year-old Akbar Salubiro is dead inside. This snake fucking swallowed this dude whole. This was the first fully confirmed case of a reticulated python killing and consuming an adult male. As the process of retrieving the body from the python's stomach was documented by pictures and videos were taken by witnesses. On June 14th, 2018, a 54-year-old woman named Watiba, also of that same place in Indonesia, that same western part of the island, she was eaten by a reticulated python that had slithered into her garden at her home. So holy fuck, watch out everyone for these snakes in Indonesia, they're no joke. Now reticulated pythons, I'll be honest, I don't like snakes at all, but this snake looks pretty fucking cool. The color patterns on it looks pretty awesome. Reticulated pythons, they have smooth dorsal scales that are arranged in 69 to 79 rows at mid-body. These dudes get up to 21 feet long. That's fucking crazy, and up to 165 pounds. If there are more than 6 meters, which is 19.7 feet, that is pretty rare. But still, these guys are they're pretty crazy. One of the largest that was scientifically measured in somewhere in Indonesia, Balikpapan. It was measured under anesthesia at 6.95 meters, which would have been 22.8 feet and weighed 130 pounds after not have eaten. Like, it didn't eat anything for almost 3 months, and that's how big this fucker was. This poor dude fucking got eaten by one of these things. That's crazy. They said that night that he disappeared, people could hear, like, screams. They could hear this dude yelling and screaming, but they didn't know what it was or where he was or anything. Oh, man, that sucks. We're going to move on to another story right here. This is from mirror.co.uk. A man died after a vibrator became lodged in his body, and he was too embarrassed to see a doctor. Hashtag wild man on that one. This dude, Nigel, smashing. Nigel Willis. Oh, God. What you talking about, Willis? Smashing. What you talking about, Willis? Nigel Willis, 50 years old. He could not remove the sex aid, which was the vibrator. He spent 5 days lying on the sofa of the home he shared with his elderly mother in Forest Hill, Southeast London. So fuck yeah. Hashtag wild man. This dude spent 5 days embarrassed because he had a vibrator jammed up his ass. And his mom, his elderly mother, just kind of hanging out in the living room like, hey, I'm trying to watch Antique Roadshows. Can you quit making fucking noises over there, Nigel? Oh, what's that? Is there fucking mosquitoes in here? There, those damn skeeters out again? I feel like I hear them skeeters. No, you don't, mama. That's just Nigel's fucking butt vibrator going off. So I do feel sad. It is a sad story because this dude did die from it. But at least he went out like a hashtag wild man. He went out the way I'd want to go out. I'd rather die this way than getting eaten alive by a fucking snake. So, Mr. Willis was left dizzy, weak, and unable to move. That's what Southwark Coroner's Court heard. The diabetic, and he was diabetic, so he probably had those fucked up feet. I don't actually know anything about that. I've only seen pictures of people that says diabetic feet, and I don't know exactly how you get that foot, but that's a fucked up foot. Yeah, I don't know, and I'm sorry to all the people with diabetes and with that foot. I do apologize. That sucks. Where were we? So, yeah, so this dude, he was rushed to Lewisham Hospital on December 30th, 2013, after a friend begged him to get help. That's a good friend. I know it sucks. You got a vibrator jammed up your ass. How did it get stuck? How big was the vibrator? How big was this dude's butthole? He was admitted to intensive care on New Year's Eve after suffering septic shock. Ugh. Surgeons, they managed to remove the vibrator, which had become stuck so deep in Mr. Willis's rectum it had perforated his bowel. Mr. Willis was a diabetic who was single and unemployed at the time of his death. I'm going to be honest, I could have guessed based on the fact that he had a vibrator up his ass for 5 days that he was single and also unemployed. That sucks. Poor dude. Still a funny way to go out. Consultant at Lewisham Hospital, Dr. Adesina said, quote, Mr. Willis was brought in by ambulance at 1603 on the 30th of December 2013. The history was that his friend or carer called an ambulance because he complained of dizziness, weakness, and was unable to move from the sofa for 5 days. It was discovered that Mr. Willis had a foreign body in his anus and he underwent emergency surgery. Dr. Rose, a consultant with the ITU, said Mr. Willis was a 50-year-old gentleman with a history of diabetes. Gentleman? Are you sure he was a gentleman? It looks like he was a gentleman, but not a gentleman with that bad boy up in his ass. Yeah, this is poor dude. His condition deteriorated and he became less responsive. He was admitted to the ITU on December 31st. He had a very prolonged ITU stay. He died 7 a.m. on February 7th. Fuck, dude. It took him 7 days after going to the hospital to die. The postmortem conducted by Dr. Peter Geriat determined the cause of death to be multi-organ failure, sepsis, and a perforated bowel. This is a sad case of a Anne who died at 50 years of age. I don't know what that means. Of a Anne. He appears to have had a foreign object which had become stuck in the lower part of his bowel, and it had been there for a number of days. Yeah, you know, that sucks. That sucks. But you know what? Hashtag Wildman. It sucks to go out that way, but, you know, shit happens. I'm just joking. Too bad shit didn't happen, and he could have shit that fucker out. That would have been nice. But yeah, I am sorry to make jokes about this. That sucks.
I went to the park, yeah, to have some fun. But I didn't have no fun, I didn't see anyone at all. So I went back home and put a vibrator up in my ass. And then I sat on the couch for 5 days. 5 days, 5 whole days. And then my friend told me to go to the hospital where I died. Because I fucking left the vibrator up in my ass for 5 whole days.
So, alrighty, here we go on to the next one. This is, I think you guys are really gonna like this one. We're going all the way to Omaha. Omaha! Omaha! This is from Omaha.com. Oh boy, I'm excited about this one. February 22nd, 2016. Updated October 16th, 2019. That's right, we got a two-parter here. So we're going to start down here at the very beginning. This was in November of probably 2015 or 2016. I actually don't know, so I'm sorry. We have a woman, a very beautiful woman, actually. Not bad. I don't know. Sometimes she looks a little beat, but she's okay. She seems all right for right now. We'll call her Jacqueline. We're not going to say her last name. She was treated for injuries to her fingers on her left hand after she tried to pet a tiger at the Henry Dorley Zoo and Aquarium. Prosecutors have said that the incident is believed to have occurred at about 4 a.m. November 1st. Yeah. Hours later, Omaha police were called to Creighton University Medical Center to handle a disturbance involving Jacqueline, who is described as showing signs of intoxication. Authorities in their criminal complaint say that she damaged zoo property. Officers also ticketed a boy who they believe is with Jacqueline on suspicion of trespassing. Jacqueline waived her right to a jury trial in that incident and agreed to enter a plea deal with prosecutors after being charged with trespassing, criminal mischief, and contributing to the delinquency of a minor. So this girl, this lady, she broke into a zoo late at night or early morning, and she gets bit by a tiger. She was trying to pet a tiger, and that's what happened. The Omaha woman, who authorities say was bitten by a tiger at the city zoo last fall, was behind bars herself on Sunday after authorities reportedly found her staggering in the street and harassing a man and two teenage boys. I'm going to be honest, so far, hashtag wild woman, I like the idea of getting drunk and breaking into a zoo at 4 a.m. to pet the tigers. Not saying I agree with it, but I do find that fun. Kind of charming in a weird way. I kind of like this lady so far. Let's see. Before authorities could get Jacqueline behind bars, though, she tried to take a bite of her own, and she bit one of the officers. Police say they were called to the area of 30th and Mason Streets at about 3 p.m. Saturday because a woman was reportedly harassing two young youths. Officers arriving on the scene, they found Jacqueline, 33 years old, whom they described as intoxicated and irrational. She was carrying a large plastic cup that she told police contained vodka and orange juice. I do believe that is a screwdriver. Drinking some screwdriver, that's fun. The man who called police told him that the woman had repeatedly tried to bear hug two teenage boys who were helping him paint an apartment building. So, this woman is walking around drunk as fuck. There's two teenagers who are helping an older gentleman paint an apartment building, and she keeps running up trying to bear hug both of them. And they're like, lady, please just leave us alone. We're trying to paint this house, this building. And she won't stop. That's pretty awesome. Hashtag wild woman. The man who called the police told them that the woman... Oh, just read that part. Officers arrested Jacqueline on suspicion of disorderly conduct, a misdemeanor, and having an open container of liquor in a public place. She kept yelling at the man and the two teens, so police took her to police headquarters. There at the headquarters where she tried to bite an officer. And she was being held Sunday on $5,000 bail. And that is all I know about her. She sounds like a fun woman, I'll be honest. Sounds like she's, she sounds fun. As long as she's not in my house. Like, if you go to a party and she's there, as long as it's not your house or your place and you don't have any belongings, that could be fun. She seems like a pretty cool lady. Cool lady. Hell yeah. Alrighty, so that is a tiger story. Now we have another tiger story, and I do want to apologize because this is a sad one. We got a bit of a bummer right here. This is from EcoWatch, Environmental News for a Healthier Planet and Life. This is from June 2nd, 2016. 40 dead tiger cubs found in a freezer at Thai Buddhist temple. And there are pictures that go along with this story. It is fucking sad. It is real sad. A day after the officials found the bodies of 40 tiger cubs frozen in a freezer inside the country's infamous tiger temple, more disturbing news has emerged from the Buddhist monastery. And these little tigers, man, they're just like, they are like the size of like kittens. Like, they're real small. They're in jars and shit. Sorry to hiccup. Three Buddhist monks and two devotees of the Wat Pha Luang Tu Bai Temple, that's going to be pronounced wrong, I'm sorry, located in Thailand's Kanchanaburi province, were charged under wildlife laws Thursday after one monk was caught trying to smuggle tiger skins and charms made from tiger parts out of the temple. That's, come on, man. Quote, today we found tiger skins and amulets. Oh, you didn't mention there were amulets at first. Now I completely understand. I'm on board. I'm just joking. Today we found tiger skins, tiger uppercut, super tiger uppercut, and amulets in a car which was trying to leave a temple. The deputy director general of the Department of National Parks said, according to The Guardian, tiger body parts, like, what are you fucking, why do you just have tiger body parts? Oh, good news, we have a tiger leg. Did anyone want to buy this tiger leg? So there's tiger body parts, two full body tiger skins, and about 10 fangs and dozens of pieces of tiger fur were found after authorities searched several of the monks' quarters. Fuck. And this is where they found 20 glass jars containing baby tigers and tiger organs in the temple's laboratory, prompting suspicions that the tiger parts are being used to make traditional Chinese medicine on site as a side business. So that's actually, I can actually understand that, because back, like, this is just the Brothers Commonplace, but I wanted to do a side project, and it came down to either do Dungeons & Dragons podcast, same crit, different day, or should I have tiger parts that I use as traditional Chinese medicine as a side project. I did end up going with the D&D project, which kind of sucks for me because my dick still doesn't work, and if I would have gone with the tiger part, the traditional Chinese tiger medicine, maybe my dick would actually start working. Do I need it to work? No. Would it be used for anything? No. But that's all right. That's fine. That's no problem. The jars have labels, so I think they've made medicine here. We will discover more as the search goes on. Oh, man. Yeah, so the temple promotes itself as a wildlife sanctuary, for the endangered animals, and it has become a well-known tourist trap in which visitors pay $20 to take tiger selfies and to bottle feed cubs. Oh, man. Earlier this week, authorities, they raided the temple. They confiscated at least 40 of the temple's 137 captive tigers and took them to a government wildlife sanctuary. Then on Wednesday is when they found the 40 dead tiger cubs in a freezer. That's fucked. But we will give them a chance to defend themselves as they went to Facebook, which is where everyone goes to make public statements against these allegations. And they said, quote, there are rumors and allegations constantly being spread on the internet about Tiger Temple. Super Tiger Uppercut. For years, many were left unanswered, as the Buddhist way is to keep silent and not engage a fight. However, now with a lot more focus on the temple, it's time to respond. There have been a lot of recent posts about missing tiger cubs which accuse Tiger Temple of selling them to the black market. this is not true. The general mortality rate of captive newborn tiger cubs has by some researchers been documented to be as high as 40%. Oh, 40%. What are we doing? Are we looking at Toof's final project in biology? Are we looking at that grade? A 40% Toof? I don't know how Toof graduated. I love him, but I don't know how he graduated. However, as happens in life, cubs do occasionally die for various reasons, most often when a new mother lacks the experience to properly care for them. In the past, as per Buddhist customs, these tiger cubs were cremated. In 2010, the ex-vet of Tiger Temple changed his policy. Instead of cremation, the deceased cubs were preserved in jars or kept frozen. We have documented all the deaths from 2010 and have photographic evidence of them still being within the temple. So there we go. I mean, I'm too dumb to know about any of this stuff, so I don't know. All I know is that it's super fucking sad to see 40 dead tiger cubs on the ground, and it's sad picture, sad story. So it's a bummer. So I was going to do another sad story next, but instead I'm going to do one that is... Actually, this one's also sad, you know, but it's also, in a weird way, kind of... I feel like it pushed technology. No, that's not true. It pushed boundaries, maybe. But I did have to pull this just from a different website because the original article will not load anymore. So I am pulling this from thoughtcatalog.com. Canadian man dies from incredibly complicated underwater self-pleasuring contraption. Right away, hashtag wild man. I wish there were videos of this. I want to watch it. I want to study it, learn from it, become a waterbender, and use those powers to just you underwater self-pleasure myself. But okay, here we go. In 1984, a researcher coined the term aqua eroticum. That's... Okay, I already changed my mind about everything I said. That's gross. That just sounds so gross. Aqua eroticum. To describe a case where a man drowned in a river during an intense underwater jack-off session. A much later case involves a 25-year-old Canadian who perished as a result of, quote, an unusual autoerotic fatality in a lake involving a homemade diving apparatus. And once again, hashtag wildman on that. So here we go. Here is, this is what the contraption was like, I guess. Quote, on his head, the victim had a hockey helmet equipped with a safety grid. The garments were composed of a two-piece black snowmobile suit and beige ski boots. On top of the black suit, a complex bondage system joining together the waist, knees, and ankles of the victim was observed with meshed metallic chains and straps and accessories usually used for horseback riding. A section of electrical wire was also used at the knees. The whole bondage device was secured at the pubic region by a padlock, consequently maintaining the victim's legs tightly joined together. Furthermore, a meshed metallic chain was attached to the hockey helmet and straps were also present at each wrist. Under his winter garments, the victim was wrapped in a transparent plastic jumpsuit covering him from head to toe. The man was initially completely underwater, his feet connected to a wooden board by ski bindings. The wooden board was linked to a floating pneumatic boat by an electrical cord. The victim had linked a long black tube from his mouth to an open plastic container floating on the lake, thus creating a device for air supply. The open plastic container allowed air to enter the black tube and get to the victim. Apparently, the black tube didn't adequately allow for sufficient airflow, and this gallant and dedicated masturbatory warrior slowly suffocated to death. I don't even understand this. What does this even mean? I can't picture any of this shit. The term aqua eroticum was first introduced in 1984 by Sivalaganathan, I don't know who that is, to describe the unusual autoerotic death of a man using submersion as an asphyxia method. This was the first of that kind, and since then, no other case of erotic submersion has been reported, nor other autoerotic fatality in open water. Here we report the case of a 25-year-old man, nude under a homemade plastic bodysuit, overdressed for the season with winter clothes and restrained by complex bondage. He was submerged, tied underwater to a boat and was using a homemade diving apparatus for air supply. Death was ruled as accidental autoerotic asphyxia from rebreathing, caused by the faulty air supply device. But how is he, what's he fucking getting off on? What's he doing? Like, is he jerking off like that? I don't understand. I just want to see a picture. Why isn't there any pictures of this shit? It's pissing me off. I want to see, goddammit. All right, so I'm back. I found pictures, and it's from a book. I believe it's from a book. I can't open the actual link. I can find it on Google Images, but I can't pull up the literature, or else I got to pay for it. But I don't understand how he's getting off. This doesn't make any sense to me. Very interesting pictures, though. Pretty cool stuff. Hashtag Wildman, baby. Yeah. Life is so fucking hard. No one gives a damn about the man on the lake. The mysterious man on the lake. Life is so hard. Yeah, my life is so fucking hard. What the fuck was that? Yeah. Nobody cares about the man on the lake. Everyone assumes that I'm just a mistake. No one cares at all. Nobody wants to know how I feel, but I'm wrapped up in a plastic bag. I got ski boots on my feet and some other weird stuff. And now I'm in the water, in the lake, and I'm masturbating, yeah. And nobody cares how I feel. Nobody wants to know how I feel. I'm alone in the lake and I'm cranking one out. Busting a load for all the trout. Come on, trout, swim on around me and get some before I die, because I fucking built this thing myself and the fucking air tube doesn't work. I'm gonna die. Come on, trout. Can you twist and trout? I twist my dick and then I blow a load in the water and I feed all the trout my seed. So, alrighty, we're back. And you know what? We got some tunes, we got some songs in here. Hope y'all are having a good time. I'll tell you what, you're having a better time than this next guy we're about to talk about. This is from NL Times. .NL. Don't know what NL means. New London. NL. Let's see. NL. The Netherlands. That makes more sense. I'm an idiot. So here we go. Unusual accident kills witness set to testify against organized crime leader. This is from November 15th, 2017. A witness set to testify against Dutch criminal kingpin Willem Holledeer. He was killed in a bizarre accident in Eastern Europe on Sunday, according to AT5 Heider Korkmaz. This is this dude's name. I'm sorry, I guarantee that's wrong. But he was electrocuted while fishing. His line hit an electricity pole whenever he cast it. The public prosecutor in Amsterdam confirmed his death to the broadcaster, quote, "The local government assumes a tragic accident. We do not doubt that, but we cannot confirm it." Korkmaz's, he used to be a drug trafficker and had a good network in the Amsterdam underworld, according to the broadcaster. He was previously a key witness in the trial against... In the trail against three men suspected of murdering real estate magnate Willem Enstra in 2004. These suspects were all acquitted. The Dutch-Turkish man was also a witness in the still ongoing trial against Willem Holledeer. He told the authorities that Holledeer, whatever it is, ordered several assassinations, working closely with Stanley Hills in Dino Sorrell, The public prosecutor considered Korkmaz to be a reliable witness, as he didn't ask for money or a lesser punishment, but only for protection. The spokesperson for the prosecutor would not tell AT5 whether Korkmaz was still under the protection of the Dutch authorities when he was killed. Well, he couldn't have been under that much protection if he fucking died while fishing. But granted, it was a freak accident. His fishing line hit an electricity pole when casted. I have a theory. Maybe the electricity pole was a wizard. That would be my guess, but I'm a dumb boy. The public prosecutor does not think that his death will have consequences for the evidence against Holladier. Quote, for the moment, we assume that there are no major negative effects. Imagine dying. And they're being like, well, the good news is, at the moment, there are, I know that Kevin just died, but there are no major negative effects of this. It is okay. The podcast will go on for all 12 listeners, and without Kevin, it will be better. We're just all lucky that Toof didn't die. So yeah, so that could have been, it is a mysterious death. Whether or not that is the truth, we don't know. Very interesting, though. Speaking of mysterious deaths, this is sad. This is a crazy one. This is about Charmaine Maxwell, a.k.a. Maxie, if that's how you pronounce it. I'm sorry. She was in a 1990s R&B band, all-female R&B trio known as Brownstone. And no, I'm not talking about, I get up around 7, get out of bed around 9, I don't worry about nothing, no, because worrying's a waste of my fucking time. Because we've been dancing with Mr. Brownstone. Such a good song. Guns N' Roses, man. Mr. Brownstone. Awesome song. Awesome band. Appetite for Destruction. Awesome album. It's good all the way through. And so this band is just called Brownstone. It's a female R&B trio. They are best known for their 1994 hit single, If You Love Me. I'll be honest, I don't know this band. Did not listen to them at all. But I believe they were discovered by Michael Jackson, but I'm not 100% positive. I thought I read that somewhere. So this girl, this lady, Maxie, she was born January 11th, 1969, and she died at the age of 46, February 28th, 2015. And the way she died, she was at her home in Los Angeles, and she slipped and fell, and I believe she was holding a drinking glass, and when the glass shattered, it like slit her throat or like cut her throat when it broke, and she died like shortly afterwards because of that. How fucking sad is that? Like falling and then the glass breaking and then somehow slitting her throat. That's crazy. This poor lady, like I said, I don't know anything about the band or about her at all, but you know, rest in peace. That's a bummer. I know she had a son, and I believe he was 11 years old when this happened. So let me go ahead and pull up the Los Angeles Times article about this. Yeah, Charmaine Maxie Maxwell of Brownstone fame dies at 46. Member of the 1990s R&B trio Brownstone died over the weekend after an accident at her Los Angeles home. She was at her home on Friday when she fell and cut her throat on a drinking glass that shattered during the fall. Her husband, producer Karsten Solshock Shack, real quick, that's a stupid fucking name, dude. Your name's Karsten Shack. Don't call yourself Solshock. I'm Karsten Solshock Shack. Welcome to Karsten Solshock Shack, my shell shack on the sea. Welcome to my sea shack. I'm Solshock Shack, sea shack. My favorite basketball player, Karl Malone, actually. Karl Malone. Thought I was going to say Shaq, huh? Gotcha. He found her sometime later and called 911. She was rushed to the hospital, but she would die at the hospital. She was survived by her husband and also their 11-year-old son. Yeah, that sucks. Like I said, I don't know anything about the band, but that's fucking super sad. That's a bummer, especially when you got a surviving kid. That's tough. That's tough. And I don't know why this made me think of it, but Toof, one time, this was back in school, he was always staring at this one kid named Michael, and they had a weird relationship. Like, I don't know if they were friends or not, because they would get into like arguments with each other and stuff, and they would act like they were gonna fight each other sometimes. But then Toof would like go over to his house and play video games. Toof would make him sign papers where he gave over his soul to him also, which is a little weird but awesome. But one time in class, Toof keeps staring at him. He's just staring at Michael. And Michael goes to our friend Mark, hashtag thank you Mark, and he says, hey, you better tell your fucking friend Jeremiah to quit fucking looking at me. And we're all like, all right. And then Toof is sitting in the back row, so he's always staring at Mike. And then Mike turns and looks at him, and Toof goes, caught you looking, Mike. That's so fucking good. So good. Oh, I forgot to mention, I have someone to talk about that I work with. This will be an interesting one. So I work with this dude who we call Mongrels. Good morning, you Mongrels. It's a name that Andrew came up with, a nickname for this dude, because he always comes in and says good morning. And then Donnie Darko, Patrick Swayze's character, who has a bunch of kiddie porn. He has the kiddie porn dungeon, I believe it's referred to as. He speaks at a school, and he comes out and he goes, good morning, you Mongrels. So that's why this dude is called Mongrels. But anyways, he has multiple phones. So of course you know what that means. He sells drugs, of course. He has his own license plate. He has a custom license plate that says Mr. and then part of his last name. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. But this dude, he's not hired in yet. So where I work, you're pretty much like a temp for 90 days. But if you don't miss any days and stuff like that, you get hired in. And you get, like, a really good pay raise and all these good benefits and stuff. But, like, no one ever lasts that long. So, it rarely happens. And he is a black dude, which I don't mention to be racist, but I mentioned, so this will make sense. But he's always late. Like, he's at work every day, but he's always late coming back from his lunch. So, he's always getting pointed. So, it takes him longer to get hired in. And it was during February, and he goes to this other dude who's like, he's not like a supervisor, but he'd be like the next one up. And he's a black guy also. And he goes up to him and he says, huh, so I guess they're not hiring any brothers during Black History Month, huh? And the dude is like, come on, man, why the fuck even? You're only saying that to me because I'm black. He's like, but he's pretty much a supervisor. So, like, why would he even say that to him, you know? And the best part is they hired two people during this month, and it was an Indian, an American Indian they hired, and then an Asian dude. So like, they didn't hire any white guys, so I don't know what he was why he was trying to say they're all racist and everything. But what the funny thing is, oh, I guess it's not funny, this is super sad, I'm sorry how I worded this, but our owner, his wife died a few days ago on Tuesday. So that's super sad. Rest in peace. That's not what's funny. What's funny is that there is an envelope on the table where they're talking about, like, hey, we want to collect money from the employees that would like to, we want to get a tree in her name and plant this tree. So they were, like, collecting money and stuff for it. And he's reading it. He's like, oh, who died? And, like, he told him. And then he looks. He's like, well, since I'm not an employee. And he slid the envelope across the table. Like, because it said employees. Well, since I'm not an employee, and he slides it across the table. What a dick. What an asshole. But it is pretty funny to talk about. That is such a shitty thing. Like, his fucking wife died. You're that petty? Well, I'm not an employee. Slides it across the table. Hashtag wildman. I'm just joking. Fuck that guy. But yeah, dude, that's so ridiculous. So, okay, so here we go. Last story we're going to talk about today. And I'm sure you've probably heard about this on some other... it had to have been talked about on a bunch of podcasts, I'm guessing. This is from BBC.com. A grocery worker found in shop where he worked after 10-year search. This is from July 2019. Now, that might be kind of confusing at first. This dude went missing in 2009, okay? Police say the body of a man who went missing in 2009 has been discovered behind a freezer in the now-closed supermarket where he worked. Yeah. Investigators in Council Bluffs, Iowa, say Larry Eli Mario Mancata, that's probably pronounced wrong, sorry, 25 years old, had apparently fallen into an 18-inch gap at No Frills Supermarket. Noise from the coolers probably muffled his cries for help, according to investigator Sergeant Brandon Danielson. No foul play was detected and his death was ruled to be accidental. His body was discovered in January at the store less than a mile from where he lived. So this dude was missing for 10 years. And he was dead, stuck behind a freezer at the grocery store he worked at that was less than a mile away. His body was so badly decomposed that he was not positively identified until last week after a post-mortem examination was conducted. Quote, you don't hear about these types of cases, like people found in walls, especially in this area. That's what Sergeant Danielson said. Nothing against him, but come on, dude. Yeah, this is just a typical case. We come across these cases all the time. A guy stuck in wall. Like, come on, dude. Of course you don't have these cases too often. Quote, we have missing persons all the time, but this is just unique. That's what he told KETV in Omaha, Nebraska. Omaha! So Mario Mancada, he was reported missing the day after Thanksgiving after he fled his parents' house barefoot while suffering hallucinations. That's what his relative said. He left behind his key and car. His parents told local media at the time of his disappearance, which occurred during a blizzard. Wait a minute, did he fucking... He doesn't work there. Did I say he worked there? Okay, I want to apologize. I think I said he worked at this place, and I don't think he does. So sorry about that. So he was just found there. He left behind his keys in his car. His parents told local media at the time of his disappearance, which occurred during a blizzard. Quote, he was hearing voices that said, eat sugar. That's what his mother said through a translator in 2009. Quote, he felt his heart was beating too hard and thought if he ate sugar, his heart would not beat so hard. That's so fucking sad. The blue clothing found on his body in January matched the description provided by his parents. Okay, this isn't funny, but it would have been good if they were like, yeah, the Make 7 Up Your shirt that was found, that definitely matches his description. I do wish he would have been found in that. The cooler he fell behind was approximately 12 feet tall. He was found by crews that were dismantling shelves in the shop. Former workers of No Frills, which has been closed for several years, said it was not unusual for employees to scale the top of the freezers to stock goods. Why was this guy not found for 10 years? Sergeant Danielson said on Monday that his mother had long suspected that he may have been in the store when he went missing. The mother, she kind of had an idea that he had never left the No Frills. Like, why didn't they fucking search the store then? I mean, granted, I don't know all the details of this. It just seems like, come on, someone could have fucking looked a little harder, right? Maybe move that fucking bag of dog food to the side. Who knows what you'll see back there? I guess he climbed over a freezer and fell behind it or something and just laid there for 10 years because no one wanted to move shit to try to find the kid. So alrighty, I guess, you know, this is a bit of a shorter episode, but it is just your boy. It was just a solo one, so I hope everyone stuck around and listened to the whole thing, and I hope you guys had fun. I enjoyed making this, so thank you everyone. Real quick, if you want to get a hold of us, we have social media. We don't really use Twitter that much. I don't use the Facebook. I think Tim and Spence check that, but you can find us on Instagram, The Brothers Commonplace. Or you can email us at brotherscommonplace@gmail.com. And we have a Patreon if you want to get some bonus episodes. It's $1, $5, or $10 a month. It doesn't matter what you pay. You get all the same stuff. So as little as $1, you can get one bonus episode each week. They're usually 20, 30, 40 minutes long. And they're usually dirty dog houses that I do. And those are similar to this episode, like how I did this one. But with the Dirty Doghouse, you can call a hotline number, you can leave a voicemail, you can text it, and I'll read it out on the show. And anyone that signs up for Patreon gets a shout-out on the Dirty Doghouse. So that's a lot of fun for me, really exciting. And we also have a Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition campaign, actual play podcast called Same Crit, Different Day. Please check that out. Please listen to it, subscribe to it, send it to your friends. And don't forget to leave all of our podcasts 5-star ratings and reviews if you haven't done that yet. It really helps us out. It means a lot to us. And I think that's it. We don't have any words of wisdom since Toof's not here. Yeah, I think that's it. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Be good, stay safe, and laugh at the dark stuff. Hashtag wild man. Hashtag thank you, Mark. Hashtag wild woman. Hashtag dog pound. Let's go, Browns, baby. Oh, and real quick, shout out and special thank you to the Bash Brothers. That is our boys in the Last Bandoleros. Thank you so much for just for being awesome dudes. They recorded our outro, them fucking jamming. I love it. Love listening to it at the end of every episode. And shout out to our boy Tony from Whiskey Myers. I really hope I can see all these bands play sometime soon when COVID ends. As soon as Biden gets that 6-foot chain out and starts fucking taking on COVID like they were Corn Pop. We all know it's possible. We all know we can do it. We just got to convince them that that the coronavirus is Corn Pop. Tell them it's called the Corn Pop virus. Guarantee whips its ass immediately.